Moncrief on News Talk.
A new anthology of Irish short stories has just been published, many of them from well-known names. Some would argue that the 21st century has accommodated a new golden age of short stories. Among them, the editor of the book that's just been published. It's just called Irish Stories. His name is Christopher Morash. He's the Seamus Heaney Professor of Irish Writing at Trinity College. Chris, good afternoon to you.
Good to see you, Sean.
So what's the difference, would you say, between short stories, Irish short stories produced in this century and, say, the previous century?
I think in the previous century, you look at the middle of the 19th century, the big issues that they were dealing with were nationality. I mean, there's these great short stories like, say, Frank O'Connor's Guest to the Nation, set during the War of Independence, or The Church. You know, there's some lovely stories in here. There's one by a writer, not very well known, a woman named Nora Holt, who writes in the 40s and 50s. And the story, it's a story called The Story of Father Peter. And there's these two men in a pub, and they're talking about the barmaid in the pub. And then the story comes around to the fact that she actually has married an ex-priest. And it's just in the churches there in the background all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whereas in the 21st century, those concerns aren't really there in the same way.
Yeah. Is it all about money and sex then?
It's all about trying to figure out where you are.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I think the short story is a form that is about being in the present and suddenly having an awareness that the present isn't what you thought it was.
Yeah, yeah. Has the internet affected the short story in any form, positively, negatively, or at all?
There's a wonderful story in here by a writer named Yan Yi called, she's born in China, but she lives in Ireland. And I have to read the title because it's the longest title in the book, How I Fell in Love with the Well-Documented Life of Alex Whelan.
Yeah.
And it's about a woman who goes to a silent film in Japanese without subtitles, and she doesn't speak Japanese. She meets a man, and they sort of hit it off. And then she goes to contact him, and she finds out that he's died. So she starts searching him online, and she starts looking at his Facebook posts and all his online posts. And she falls in love with the online version of the man she only met once in person.
Mm.
And you realize, you know, relationships are now like that. That relationships, they're in person, but they're also virtual. And yeah. Writers have to find a way to deal with that.
Yeah. Is it more exceptional that a writer will say, I want to be a short story writer, primarily?
I think, and this is from talking to writers, I think a lot of writers see short stories are like the sprint of the writing Olympics. There's, you know, you have to make every single word count.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times writers are testing themselves when they write short stories. That with a novel, you've got to, you know, it's a bit like being a middle distance runner. You know, you can have a bit of a slow middle third.
Yes.
As long as you pick up the pace for the end, you're going to be all right.
Because it's rare enough. I mean, if I try to think back of who have made their published debut in the short story form, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm leaving mm-hmm. aside magazine publications, yeah. but maybe Nicole Flattery was one. Lydia Nyakoon, the chap from Northern Ireland. But it's quite exceptional, mm-hmm. really. They tend to go for the novel first. And
sometimes, yeah. Although, I mean, when you sort of go back through people's histories, you know, people like Sally Rooney are publishing short stories before they're doing fiction.
Yeah.
You know, so people are quite often publishing short stories in magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one writer here, Owen McNamee, who I know well. And I said, Owen, I didn't know you wrote short stories. And I started digging them up and finding, going back, he's got like a whole trove of them.
Yeah.
Because you think of him primarily as a novelist, but the short stories are appearing in magazines, I mean, sometimes newspapers. So they don't have the same kind of visibility.
No, they don't. But at the same time, and I imagine The Stinging Fly, the magazine.
Yeah.
The Irish magazine is hugely important in that respect.
Phenomenally important. I mean, The Stinging Fly, Banshee is another one. There's a group of these kind of literary magazines now that are making this. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to call this a golden age of Irish short stories.
Mm.
You know, there are just so many good short stories coming out. And a new issue of The Stinging Fly comes out and you're just reading and you think, wow, this stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, like, you know, Declan Mead, the editor of The Stinging Fly, would just say, he can't keep up with what's coming in. You know, the amount of stuff that's coming and from people that are writing for the first time.
Yeah. Now, in your book, In Irish Stories, what kind of, you mentioned that story there from 1950, so what, temporal terms, what kind of time are you
temporal
covering?
Temporal terms, I decided to go big. I mean, so we start off with William Carleton back in the middle of the 19th century, a classic story called Wild Goose Lodge, which is every bit as horrifying today as it was when it was written, about a family being burnt out in their house. It's kind of told from the perspective of the people doing the burning. It's a horrific story. Right up to Lucy Sweeney. Burns' story Echolocations, which was published in 2024.
Okay. And is there, when you're deciding what to include and what not to include, are you thinking in terms of what's the best stories here, or thematically, or you know, is there some kind of linkage between, do all of them in a sense tell a story in their entirety?
They do. I mean, with a book like this, you have to account for a reader who's just going to dip in. You know, I mean, I know that's what I do with a book like this. I do a lucky dip, and then you never read it sequentially. So there's an element at which you're picking, I won't say the best, because that'll get me in all kinds of trouble. you're picking good ones. And then you want to try and get a balance throughout the collection as a whole. So they're not all stories about priests, or they're not all stories about, so that there's, and then you start to do the tricksy things like have the stories talk to each other.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, which one of Joyce's do I use? Well, if I use the dead, there's a great Eilish na Gcuimhne short story called Literary Lunch from 2012, which is about a bunch of literary types in Dublin going to a restaurant called Gabriel's. The main character in the dead's Gabriel Conroy, which is on Usher's Island, and kind of bitching about the literary world today on the site of the dead.
Yeah.
And then there's Kevin Barry's absolutely brilliant short story called The Apparitions, where the ghosts of Joyce, Beckett, and Yeats start appearing on gable ends in Dublin and talking. And initially, Dublin Corporation thinks this is brilliant, you know, great tourist attraction, until Joyce starts trying to bum change off people.
Yeah.
And Yeats starts expounding some of his philosophies, and Beckett doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And so they start covering them up. And Kevin Barry ends with a new proposal from the Dublin Corporation, which is that a reading of the last paragraph of The Dead will be just put on a continuous loop on speakers around Dublin.
Yeah.
So you have the stories talking to each other. You have the dead popping up in 21st century stories. There's a Sean O'Fallon story here, which people at the time said, oh, that's response to the dead.
Mm.
So there's, I think Ireland is, Ireland's small enough in its literary world that writers and stories talk to one another.
Yeah. That book is called Irish Stories. Christopher Morash is Seamus Heaney, Professor of Irish Writing at Trinity College. Chris, thanks a million for coming into us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.